Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live, the Edge of Reality, here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all. Thursday means that it's one step closer to the weekend. So happy weekend to everyone, too. Man, fall shows are starting. I love it. I love the fall. We have a bunch of shows kind of premiering. We've had some finales. We have more shows on the horizon. Oh, man. I'm so excited. I love the fall. I love new seasons. Big show. We're going to talk some challenge. We got to talk about the first episode of Survivor with hustlers, heroes versus healers versus hustlers, and what that looks like. The Voice premiered. We're going to talk about Jennifer Hudson, her first couple shows up, what we think about her, what we think about the old gang getting back together again. And a lot more. There's always a ton of stuff to talk about. But before I do anything else, I got to say hello and good evening to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Good evening. I am great, although I went back to work this week. And even though I'm not working a full schedule, my DVR went from zero up to like only 97% free or something. So I haven't even been able to watch everything. But I did watch Survivor. I did watch the challenge.
Good. That's what you need to know. That's what you need. You can always get a party. Exactly. Prioritize. That's right. You can always be a part of our conversation by liking us on our Facebook page, The Edge of Reality. You can also like us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Reality Alley. That's Reality A-L-L-I-E. Priscilla is at P-S-I-L-L-A. You know, we always love it when you guys give us input. Tell us what you're watching. Tell us what you're liking. Tell us what you're hating. And if you want to listen to archived shows of ours, you can always do that on blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. So let's get rolling. I want to talk about The Voice just briefly because we started out, you know, this is my favorite part of the season, the chairs. I never get sick of the chairs turning. It never gets old for me. I'm out for the rest of the season, but for those chairs, I'll stay in. We got Jennifer Hudson, the first look at that. Now, Jennifer Hudson is no stranger to judging panels. She was on the UK version of The Voice. She was a judge there. And I say judge, and I mean mentor. They're not technically judges, but they're mentors. And so she has some previous experience being a mentor. And you see that immediately. That jumps off the screen where it's like, it's not her first time at the rodeo. She has been through the American Idol process, so she knows what that's like. So she understands what it's like to be a contestant on one of these shows. And then she, from the other side of it, she knows how to mentor from the UK version of The Voice. So, I mean, she's coming in hot. There's no trepidation. She's coming in hot. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed her first kind of couple of nights in. I think she brings something different to the table. She knows what she's talking about. She sings a little too often for me, but which is crazy to think because how does Jennifer Hudson ever sing a little bit more too often? But it's just the random notes belting out is kind of crazy. But I appreciate what she brings to the table. And you know what? I might choose her for a judge. If I was in that position and I had to pick someone to be my mentor, I keep saying judge, and you know I mean mentor. It might be her. It might be her. I think it would be. I don't know. It might be Miley too. I like them both. But Priscilla, what did you think about Jennifer Hudson's first stint as a voice mentor?
Well, I knew that she mentored in the UK, so I had like some anticipation that she would be well equipped to do the job. Had she not been UK, I think, because she's usually more reserved. I mean, what we've ever seen in interviews and stuff, she's quick, you know, quacky and stuff like that. But she's a very private person in general, out in the public. So yeah, I think it was a refreshing surprise. I still like the aspect of two ladies on the panel. I'm telling you, and I hope they don't go back to 3-on-1 because I just don't like it.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it a lot. I mean, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, Miley to me has always been the biggest surprise. She was someone that I was like super hesitant about. I loved her on her first season. And on, you know, this season, she has said straight out, like, first season happened. I learned a lot from the experience. Like, I'm ready to go. And you can almost tell, even in the way that she fights for people, when she's up against other coaches, she fights a little bit differently than she once did. It seems like she has more of an idea of who she wants on her team, and she's kind of waiting for these very specific people. And, you know, I mean, country, she said she wants to go back to her roots. She's kind of fighting Blake for those country singers. I think that's a good idea. If I were a country singer, and we've talked about this before, but if I was singing country, I know Blake can make connections for you after the show. And therefore, yes, if you're thinking about your future career, Blake might be the best option for you. But if you're thinking about winning the competition, if I was a country singer, I would go to anyone but Blake, because you know Blake has all the country singers and you have to compete against all the same people. Whereas at another team, you would have to compete against different people and you would have a better shot to kind of stand out and continue. So I think Miley is kind of really focusing on that and really going for that. You know, there was the last night, the final performance, the woman who sang, where all four coaches turned their chairs, and Miley ran up and just like had her put her hand on her heart, and she was like, do you feel my heartbeat? It is beating for you. And this woman was like, yes, I want Miley. I mean, that was perfect. She is like an early favorite. I think she's going to go super far in the competition.
Yeah, I agree with Miley. She didn't surprise me any because I had a feeling that she would. What surprises me is how much she has matured from her first stint to this stint. She's just more calmer about it, and she just you can just tell she loves doing it, and that's what I like. I mean, she loved doing it her first season, but now that she's got that under her belt, I think it makes a huge difference with Miley as well. And you know, we're getting to a point where one of the two bookends could fall off, and I don't think anybody missed them.
Yeah, I almost hope that happens sooner rather than later. I mean, I do appreciate Adam and Blake. I mean, I feel like they're kind of robots almost in this competition, where they're very like, you know, they have their little jokes, and then they turn around for certain people, and then they use the same things to try to get them over to their team. And you know, I'm ready for someone new as one of the bookends. I would be okay with that. I would be completely okay with that. I think that there's been enough mentors that have cycled through that one of them could take a season off. And I'm not saying that either one of them should leave permanently. I'm not saying that at all. I think that even if they went to once a year, you know, I think that it would be, you know, huge. Now, I don't think that The Voice would want that to happen. I think that they like the consistency of having the same two mentors bookend since season one. But, you know, I'm sure for them, I'm sure for Blake and for Adam, you know, they might want to take a season off every once in a while and go do, you know, record or tour or do something else that's not this.
So we've had enough cycles that they could be a repeat and fill that gap. And I'm not saying get rid of them either. They have fulfilled their services of getting the show to where it's at, you know, by keeping that stable. Like we said, you can't change everything and expect it to be the same or better every time. But I think that there's been enough that have flown through there that I think could pick up that torch for one season to get one of them so they can tour or whatever, you know. And not that they wouldn't be missed, but it wouldn't hurt the show in any way, shape, or form.
Right. Agreed. I think they also need another – they just need a little bit of fresh blood, and I think they need to take a little time away. You can tell, though. I mean, I think Alicia Keys said in the press that she would not do another season. Christina hasn't been back in a while. I don't know. You know, I would love to see Christina back at some point. You know, we've seen Gwen kind of cycle through. We know that Kelly Clarkson is coming in the spring. You know, so we're seeing more people kind of cycle through. But I think that for most people, this is kind of like a short-term stop. They do it, you know, they have some free time for a season or, you know, and then they do it, and then they kind of go off and do something else. I'm surprised that Blake and Adam have been able to kind of maintain it for as long as they have without kind of getting bored with it. But, you know, I think at some point they are getting bored with it.
They're coming through. They might have some projects coming up that they want to promote, and this is a good way for them to promote, you know, or to stay relevant while they're off. Either way.
Yeah. Agreed. So, but I'm overall I'm liking Jennifer Hudson so far. I think that as the rounds go, you know, come through as we like see battle rounds, as we see, you know, those kind of rounds coming up after the blind auditions, I think we're really going to get a sense of, you know, that she's good, that she's experienced, that she's been around the block. And I think that her American Idol roots are going to be extremely helpful in this situation. The one other thing I've noticed, though, she turns around for everybody. Everybody. Her team is going to fill up super quick. So, and she definitely has a type of performer that she likes. She likes the ones that belt. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when they have to start, these belters have to start battling each other. But I'm all in. I'm a big fan. I'm all in on The Voice, at least the chair part. I like the chair part. One thing that I should mention, too, speaking of, new shows starting their seasons, Hell's Kitchen is starting up Friday night, and it's an All-Stars. It's the first ever Hell's Kitchen All-Stars. And I think we've talked about this a couple of years ago. We wondered why Hell's Kitchen wouldn't have an all-star season because, you know, a lot of people that go through it once, you know, I'm sure that they would be willing to do it again. And I'm sure, you know, they would want to do it for their careers. And we've seen all-star versions of tons and tons and tons of reality shows, you know, including Top Chef and Chopped and other cooking, you know, competitions. So it only makes sense for Hell's Kitchen to have an All-Stars one. So that is starting Friday night, tomorrow night, if you're listening live. And I'm going to check it out. I'm going to watch. I'm usually in on Hell's Kitchen. I'll usually finish out a season. I think the only time I haven't was when they were doing like back-to-back seasons and I was starting to get fatigued. But I will be checking it out, so you should too. And then a big thing to note too is that Shark Tank, you know, not Priscilla's favorite show, but I love it. It has moved. It is no longer on Friday nights. It is now on Sunday nights, and it is kicking off this Sunday night, October 1st. I think they're having a two-hour premiere, and they have Richard Branson is on this season, Bethany Frankel, who, you know, friend of the podcast. We've interviewed her here before. And she's going to be on. She's going to be a shark. And they're really mixing it up with various sharks kind of rotating through. So that's starting on October 1st. So those are my two plugs. I think I'm the most excited about them. That those are two shows that I'm most excited about. All right. So let's talk challenge. We haven't talked challenge in a while. We need to discuss the last few weeks, especially because a lot has been going on, not so much in the game, but in the drama surrounding the game. I have a hot take about this, Priscilla. I actually had a back and forth with someone about this earlier today, who disagreed with me. So I'm looking forward to getting your take on this, Priscilla. Okay, ready? Here's my hot take. Well, this is not so much of a hot take, but my first take is this season is very, very long. And although I love the challenge, I hate this Redemption House thing. I was here for it once, but I am not here for it twice. And I'm not here for it a third time. Like, at some point when we've seen 10 episodes of the show, I mean, we've seen a lot of episodes. I think it's close to 10. It's not 10 exactly. And we've only had a handful of people actually leave the game. It's become overwhelming. It's become a little bit of a drag. You know, challenge works best when they do short, kind of exciting seasons. Okay, Priscilla, yes or no?
Well, I was just thinking this tonight when I was watching it, that even though I think the shows have been running weekly, sometimes I feel like we miss a couple of weeks before I actually get to see an episode. So is it just me, or have we been having a show every single week? Because it just seems like it's so long in between shows. On top of
no, we're having a show every week. I think what you're feeling, because it's completely valid, Priscilla, I think what you're feeling is the fact that we don't get a complete episode for like 2 weeks at a time. So like, we're getting episodes of the show, but we're not getting a here's a challenge, here's a winner, here's who's going home, here's an elimination challenge, which I would and then here's people going home, right? That's like a complete arc of a week, and traditionally a complete arc of an episode. You know, you think about reality TV shows, you think about Survivor, you have, you know, a reward challenge, you have an immunity challenge, you have a tribal council, somebody goes home, and that's all contained in one episode. And what the challenge is doing, and they've done this for the past couple seasons, and I hate it, and you know, maybe it's to build suspense, maybe it's to get people to watch the next episode. I don't know how effective that is, because you think that once people are in, they're in, and they're not going to wait an entire, you know, they're either going to forget about it within the next week, or they're going to just keep watching because they're a fan of the show and they watch every week. But, you know, it's the cliffhanger. It's we're doing 2 weeks to get this one rotation of events to happen, of a challenge, a draw, a double cross, and an elimination challenge, and somebody going home. So it took 2.5 episodes to get through one of the rotations. And that's just, it's too long. There's too much space. There's too much, fluff in the episode. So we're getting an episode every week. We're just not getting a rotation of events, that full arc every week. So I think that's why you're feeling that way. Does that make sense?
Maybe. It just feels like it is so long. Very
powerful,
that's why.
Yeah, you're not getting that arc of like, okay, this happened, boom, 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 boom. Okay, now we're going back to the beginning, another challenge. Okay, next challenge, boom, 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 boom. Okay, now going, it's taking 2 episodes at least, if not longer, to get through one of those arcs. So it's feeling like a long time. So my not-so-hot take is that I'm not feeling the Redemption House. I think that the season needs to be longer. I think the season needs to be shorter. I understand that season 30 started with 30 players, but it's even more of a reason why you shouldn't have a Redemption House. You know, you should keep it to what it needs to be to kind of get a lot of these players out of here. But here's my hot take, Priscilla, and I want you to tell me what you think. Okay, so this season has had a lot of background drama, a lot of stuff involving Camilla specifically. You know, we have the Camilla and Tony. Tony is cheating on his girlfriend, his baby mama back home. We have that kind of storyline happening. We have Camilla saying unbelievably inappropriate and gross things to Leroy, who, you know, this happened a couple episodes ago, and Camilla was absolutely horrible to him. I can't believe they let her stay on the show, and I think Leroy handled it so well. I mean, it just grosses me out that her interactions with Leroy were so horrible, and they let her stay on the show. I mean, I'm sure they let her stay on the show because she didn't get quote unquote physical, but she did kind of get physical. I mean, at one point during that episode, she grabbed, wasn't it dumbbells? And she was rushing with dumbbells, I guess with the intention of throwing them at people. You know, she was completely out of control. And I thought that her behavior was super gross. And they let her stay for the season, obviously. And I think they've kind of brushed it aside in a weird way, and I think the reason they brushed it aside is because I think she's a finalist, don't you? Don't you think that's the edit? It's kind of like she ends up either winning the season or getting to the finals.
I don't know about that because it's very possible, but I think that I don't know if you watch one of the after shows, actually, it wasn't even scheduled. It had something else actually on there. So they replaced it, but they actually had a round table about it and with professionals present to help guide through, and they just had an open discussion of it. Camilla was there, Leroy was there, others in the house were there. But my thing is they did this, but after that episode aired, and I have to say, you know how I am about bananas. He drives me bananas, but he actually had Instagram Live, and he'd just gotten off the phone with Leroy. And I tell you what, the guy totally had Leroy's back and totally made sense, not to mention that they were both on Fear Factor, too. But,
yeah.
You know, he just he answered questions that everybody had. He had nothing great to say about Camilla. He totally believed Camilla should have went. But I think that they kept it for the open round table that they had to bring awareness to this issue. I think MTV kind of took a stand on that a little bit. But I'm not sure that the show itself was that informative or that great. Intent was nice that was there. But Johnny had just gotten off the phone with Leroy after that had aired, and Camilla had still never personally reached out to him to apologize to him. She has, like, said it in her social media, but hasn't actually called him to apologize. So there's that where, you know, she becomes a Camilla-nator, and she does – and the thing is MTV, to a certain extent, not for that what she said, but is at fault with this because they contribute to the environment with everybody drinking, and they encourage the drama. And I'm surprised it hasn't happened before now, to be honest with you, with them drinking as much as they drink in that house to keep the, you know, for the drama, that something else like this hasn't come to light. I'm just surprised it's taken this long beyond all the seasons.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
I have mixed emotions about it all, but I don't know. She very well could be a finalist. I didn't even give that a thought. But that's why I think that they wanted to use that as a little bit of a platform.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thought. That's a good thought. Keep her in, see what the consequences of her actions kind of thing, and use it as a way to raise awareness. I didn't have that perspective. I thought they kind of brushed it off a little bit, and the reason they did that is because, you know, editing wise, she goes super far in the game, possibly even wins it, and they don't want her to win the game and have this, like, horrible thing hanging all over her. But I could be completely wrong. I hadn't read spoilers about it, so I don't know. But getting back to my hot take. We saw Ashley M. leave the game the first day because she kind of got overwhelmed, and yes, there was a whole thing where she didn't get her luggage. But after the fact, she kind of had this long Instagram post that was essentially like, I've been going nonstop on these challenges for the past year. I did like 4 in a row. I like got to this one and I was like mentally exhausted. And so she left. You could tell that the game has gotten to a lot of these people. A lot of the people, a lot of the regulars, a lot of the people were, now this show has become their full-time jobs. I feel like this is starting to become a drain. And so my hot take is maybe we need to take some of the regulars out and rotate it with some new blood. I feel like the regulars need a chance to rest. And, you know, MTV, the challenge is, you know, huge for them. It's one of their most popular shows. They need to have it on twice a year. The answer isn't putting it on once a year. But I think they need to rotate the cast out a little bit more. I love the idea of them bringing back some of the old school people. And we've seen Anissa, and we've seen Derek, and we've seen, you know, some of these people that and Veronica, and some of these people that we haven't seen in a while. And I think that's been great, and maybe they can continue that trend, and maybe they can introduce some new, you know, Are You the One folks, and some new people from newer seasons of Real World. And you know, they could also do a new Fresh Meat, where they have mentors and Fresh Meat, because some of their biggest personalities they have gotten through that Fresh Meat franchise. See Cara Maria, see Camilla, see Laurel. They've all come from that Fresh Meat challenge where they haven't even been. They've never even been on a season of The Real World or Are You the One. They just went directly into challenge mode. And although I love seeing people that I know and I feel older. The older I get, the harder, where I'm like, oh God, I'm really getting old now because I don't know half of these people. But I just feel like the show itself is starting to take its toll. And, you know, I don't know specifically what the real world does, but we know from Big Brother and Survivor and some of these other shows, when you first get on the show, they give you like a psychological evaluation, you know, kind of, and, you know, just to kind of see where you're at. But in reality, these people who have been on the show for years, I mean, bananas, they said earlier this season, he started season 13 and it's season 30. You know, more than half of the seasons Banana has been on. I think they need a little bit of a break. I think, and then when they take a couple seasons off and they come back, it's like, oh my God, this is great. Here they're back. This is awesome. And that's my hot take. What are your thoughts on this, Priscilla? Do you think that we should retire some of these vets and kind of not retire them forever, but maybe just give them a couple seasons off to regroup?
Well, Bananas isn't going anywhere, that's for sure. Because, you know, even on that live chat that I've seen him on, somebody says, oh, what the hell do you do, basically? You know, you're just on a reality TV show. And he basically said, well, this buddy pays the bills and I make more money than you and I get to do what I want when I want kind of thing. He ain't going nowhere. And he's good TV for him. And he's a good strategist because the older he gets, he's not in the physical condition that he probably once was as a younger chap. So we get to see the mental part of his rationale on, you know, being able to go through each challenge and guide people through. So I have to, after that video, I have to give him credit. He does have a lot of knowledge when it comes to the challenge games and figuring it out. But then again,
sure,
he had a long time to figure it out. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. Like you said, they throw these all back to back and together like that. And you know, another thing is, you know, the older we get, they keeping all these older players on there. They're not bringing, you know, at a certain point, we're going to say, okay, we're mature enough that this isn't what we want to watch. And then they don't have any newer, fresher people coming in to bring in different viewers. You know, the ratings at some point is going to slip from it because at some point we're going to say enough's enough.
Well, yes. I mean, but they also, like, Leroy is a perfect example. Leroy is not someone that I know from his original Real World season because I didn't watch his Real World season. But I know him and I like him. You know, Jenna, I love Jenna. Love Jenna. And I don't know her from her original season. I just know her from the challenge. And so I think that you can eventually get to know people. You know, and
Jenna wasn't on the Real World. Jenna was a girlfriend of the one that was, and when they had the partners, they came back as a couple, which they were at the time were not a couple, they broke up. That's when she fell for Zach. She was never actually on the Real World.
I forgot that Jenna she was another like fresh meat. And I mean, and look at Jenna. I mean, Jenna is like this one of the stars of the show, and she didn't start out from there. We've got Nicole this year who came on as Nani's cousin. And Nicole is doing another season by herself without Nani. And, you know, this is the most I've ever liked Nicole. I think she's like just, you know, she's getting better at this whole like personality confessional thing, which works to her advantage. But like, you know, there's some people coming up. I loved Tori on Are You the One. I'm so happy that Tori's kind of entering this world. You know, we have some Are You the One people that are slowly kind of creeping in there. You know, we've got Amanda, you know, and those folks. So, you know, we can slowly kind of integrate people. But, like, Camilla needs to be done. She's been doing this forever. And this, I think it is now, like, she now has problems that are larger than this show. And they need to hold her back and get her right again. before she does another one of these things.
What do you mean right again? I don't think Camilla was ever really right.
Oh, no, I think as the years have progressed, she's become more and more, they talked about the Camillinator and where that first stemmed from. And I think she leaned into that Camillinator. I think that she got upset one night, someone called her a Camillinator, and that really became like her brand. And leaning into it means that she's gotten like crazier, fights more, got kicked off of previous seasons, drinks more. And I think like she has completely lost everything that has made her Camilla originally, because now she's this person. I mean, I feel that same way to some degree with Bananas, where, you know, he calls himself Banana. You know, that's not his name. That's not who he, you know, but he kind of leans into this character. But the problem is, you know, when you're acting and you're playing a character,
you have a clothing line based on it.
Well, right, but the problem is when you're acting and you're becoming a character, they say cut and you can go back to being who you are. Well, with these folks, you know, they are their characters 24/7, and that messes with you after a while. And I feel like, you know, I've seen it specifically with Camilla, but also like to another extent, like Cara Maria and some of these other vets who have been doing this for a long time, that I think they need to like step away and like get to be who they are again, you know, get right, because I just don't think that they're getting they're having enough time to be themselves, and they're always being this larger than life character. I mean, that's my hot take. That's my hot take. So take it for what it is. But overall, I'm not super enjoying this season. And I think it just has to do with not only is the drama, I hate the drama. I hate how, you know, horrible the drama has been. I hate how horrible people have been to each other. There's some standout characters. I have never, ever liked Jemmy. And I'm liking Jemmy this season. She has never been one of my favorites, and I'm really digging her this year. And I think time away has really done well for her. You know, I obviously will always love Jenna. I just love Jenna. And, you know, she's great. You know, there's certain CT. I will always love CT. He is someone, again, who benefited from being away from the show for a little while. You know, there's certain characters that I love, but overall, I think it's just way too long, way too many episodes before we see a full arc. And the whole dirty part of it, where, you know, they're double crossing each other and things like that. I mean, there's been a couple fun elements with it, but for the most part, I could live without it. I don't think it's exceptionally crazy. And also, like, this whole TJ is holding out for the fact that they're actually playing for $1 million. I think that's ridiculous thing for us. Wouldn't you want to tell them immediately so they start being crazy from the start? Why would you tell them towards the end where, like, they don't have much of a chance to be crazy over it? That doesn't impact. When you're not telling them, it doesn't impact how they play in the game, you know? What if I thought about this, too, like, with Big Brother, especially this year with 19 and how, like, no, it seemed like no one really cared about the money and no one was truly playing for it. If Julie came on the mic one day and was just like, oh, guys, by the way, it's going to be $1 million now. I wonder how they're behaving. Maybe they wouldn't change at all because they were all under Paul's spell. But, you know, things would change. Personalities would change. Like, that money is so inconceivable where, you know,
I don't think
that would happen at the challenge too. Say that again.
I said, I don't think it would have changed this season's cast at all because, I mean, come on, let's get real. $500,000 is a hell of a lot of money, and if they weren't willing to work for it for that, $1 million wasn't going to mean shit to them.
I mean, everybody just threw it away.
I mean,
$500,000 is a hell of a lot of money to me, but I don't know. I mean, this is a whole other show and a whole other thing, but I would have loved to see if Julie was just like, yep, it's $1 million now, like if anything would change, if things would be taken seriously. And the challenge, I think, is the sooner you tell them, the sooner we're going to see things play out.
That
so it's
I
like,
agree
just,
with.
Just tell them
that
already.
I agree
Let's
with.
Go. You know?
Don't think
I love the idea. I love the idea of changing totals. It's my favorite part of Are You the One when they, you know, black out on an episode and they, like, lose $250,000 of their money. And then last year they had elements where they could earn some of it back. Like, I like that aspect of the game because it really changes how people play. You know, so let's have them find out that they're going to win $1 million, and then let's see how that impacts the game. You know, so that's, I just think it's dumb as a side note. So I'm struggling. I'm watching the season though. I love a challenge, but you know, and they've had some pretty cool challenges. They've done some pretty cool things, but it's dragging out, and they need to make this not drag out so much. They need to make it not drag out so much. Side note for MTV fans, you know, speaking of Are You the One, that started last week. So we're now, we just had our second episode this week, last night. And, you know, I love Are You the One. I really do. When it comes to, like, trashy TV, give me Are You the One all day long. Because Are You the One, like, they let you know immediately what this show is. Immediately. And they don't put up pretenses. So I'm a big fan. And I hope, and last year was the first time that they didn't win the money. Hopefully this cast has seen that and they know that it's possible now, and maybe that impacts their gameplay. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with this group of people. So Are You the One? Check it out. I love it, especially if you love kind of that trashy, you know. It's like the closest thing to Temptation Island I'm ever going to get again. And I love Temptation Island. One of the reasons, Priscilla, and I don't even know if I've said this before, but one of the reasons I started getting in to, like, competition reality TV was Temptation Island. I loved it so much. I thought it was absolutely ridiculous, and I loved it so much. I was all in from the very beginning. God, I loved that show. Then they tried to reboot it, and it was horrible, and I was so sad, but God, I loved the original.
Did you watch 90s House by chance?
Say that again?
Did you watch 90s House by chance on MTV?
No, it's on my DVR. I haven't seen it yet. Is it good? What do you think?
Oh, it can only go anywhere but up in my book.
Nice. I mean, it sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it's like also sounds like right up my alley.
It is 100% absolutely ridiculous. But
But I feel like I'm all in on it. Like already, I haven't even seen it, and I'm like, yeah, I'm down. Like, there's just certain shows that I just randomly watch. You know, famously Single. I got really into that show, and that was ridiculous. That Growing Up Supermodel. I watched the whole damn thing, and I hated it, and yet I still watched it. I mean, it was horrible, but I still watched it. I mean, I can totally see myself seeing every second of 90s House, every second of it. I can conceive. I can totally see it. All right, last few minutes, we got to talk about Survivor. Survivor premiered last night, first episode, Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. Episode one, here we go. And we start out with a couple things. Here was my first thought. And I don't know how many seasons we're going to have to get in before people kind of realize this, but when they're on the boat getting ready to be marooned, wouldn't you think to yourself, there has to be a secret or a secret immunity or secret advantage somewhere on this boat? Don't you think that you would think about that? Before I would be throwing fruit and vegetables into a into the random ocean, like all willy-nilly, I'd be looking through everything for that secret advantage. And then everybody just kind of weirdly happens upon it, you know, just like randomly. And in the chaos, people don't see, like, I still feel like, and we've seen this probably two or three times now, but, you know, when Ryan got the secret advantage and he saw it and he was like stuffing in his pants, you would think that there would be people like turning around at that moment to see it happen. I don't know. I just find it weird that no one ever sees this happening. This has nothing to do with the game and my thoughts, just the idea of like the secret, like at this point, they should be far enough with it.
Honestly, I think there was only a couple people left on the boat when he found it.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. But then, like, then that means that it didn't cross their mind that there wouldn't be a secret advantage. And I know the first time they did this was Millennials versus Gen X. And when they were filming this, they had seen the entire season of Millennials and Gen X. And they had only seen half of Game Changers. But they would have still seen, whatchamacallit, get the secret advantage. Who got it in Game Changers? Sarah Dawn Thomas. They would have seen Sarah Dawn Thomas get the advantage at some point. So you would think, okay, we saw two seasons of somebody getting an advantage. I would be looking at the boat, Priscilla. I would. That's how I would roll. I don't know. They didn't even see Sarah with the, you know, when Sarah was saw it under the bench from like a mile away, and Michaela
right.
was sitting on top of the bench. They didn't even see that. So, you know, that's coming up at some point during the season. But I don't know. It almost bothered me where I was like, you're throwing all this stuff, you know, look for the clue. What would have happened if they threw the clue overboard? Maybe that would have just been dead in the water, right?
They would have found another way to implement it, I have a feeling.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. They have another way because there's two super immunity idols already in the game. So the big kind of twist to this is that there's a super immunity idol now where someone can play the immunity idol after the votes have been read. This is huge. I know that we've talked about this before as an option for how to like enhance the immunity idol, but having this unbelievable power that you are going to use the immunity idol correctly, that it's foolproof, I don't know. I don't love that because I think part of it is always there's advantages to the game, but whether or not you use those advantages correctly are up to you. You know, and we see that, you know, we've seen that with vote steals. We've seen that with the reward steals that Adam had. We've seen that with immunity idols for years and years. You know, it's, you know, how many people have we seen with leaving the game with immunity idol in their pocket? How many times have we seen people play the immunity idol and they don't have a single vote against them. You know, that's part of the excitement of the immunity idol. So to add this element of like, we're going to make it so foolproof that you can play it after the votes are read. I don't know. I don't know if I love that, Priscilla.
Well, and that the different twist here is, you know, if your tribe didn't go to lose and go to tribal council, you can will it to somebody. And I'm just a little disappointed as to we didn't get the breakdown, because even with that power that was given to her, I don't know if we want to spoil anything, but why couldn't we see the rationale going into why she didn't use it? You know what I mean?
Right.
That makes it totally fall flat on its face, in my opinion.
Right.
And we might get it the next episode, but I think that it should have happened this episode. We should have got the reasoning behind it on this episode, either at the end or something.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that we will get it at the beginning of the next episode, because I thought the same thing. But, you know, I think we'll get it at the beginning of next episode. But I just,
for his reason on giving it to her to begin with, you know, something. I just I don't know. Just, to me, when you do that and you leave it at the end of the show like that, to me, it's like pissed me off, and I'm not even going to pay attention when it comes up the next time, because I wanted to know then. That's what the topic was about. That's what you went in there. That's where all this tension was supposed to come from. Was she going to use it? Is she going to use it for, you know, her friend or whatnot? But to me, it falls flat on its face. I'd like to have a little more explanation on this at the proper time when it happens. I don't want to wait a week to know. It just pisses me off.
No, I agree. I completely agree with that. But overall, I mean, I just don't love the idea of making an advantage so foolproof that you can't mess it up, you know? But here's the other thing I'm thinking. And going back to their tribal council where, you know, Chrissy is, you know, I guess editing is making it so that, you know, Chrissy could have used it potentially on Katrina. And that was a possibility.
Right.
But she didn't use it on Katrina, and Katrina's the person who went home this week. But because of the fact that you get the vote, you can play it on yourself after the votes are read. I don't think I would ever play it on someone else. I think this would be a situation that I would hold on to it and use it exclusively on me. It would be my get out of jail free card. I don't think I would ever use it on someone else, where I might be more likely to use my idol, my regular idol, on someone else. And I don't know if that makes sense or not, because obviously if my closest ally in the game is going home and I need them for a vote, why not give it to them? But I feel like this is something that I would save it for my arsenal for when I need it, because eventually I will need it.
No, it had to be used that first tribal. It had to be. That's why it was willed to her.
Oh,
it
yeah,
was only
you're
for
right.
First tribal. And,
yeah, you're right.
That would just fall flat on its face, in my opinion. They throw these things out there, and they don't give, you know, anything to the game. It doesn't even add to the storyline, because they don't let us see the story. Because obviously something transpired, because every single one of them voted for her, including her. I don't even know the names yet. The one that got the idol, she voted for Chrissy as well. So
definitely
didn't happen. So, I mean, they tried to build it up, and then you go and you see how they voted in the end anyways. She voted for her, so there was a conversation with her about it.
Yeah.
So, otherwise she wouldn't have voted for her. So it's just like, okay, build this up, and it's just useless. It meant nothing.
Yeah. Katrina to me felt like the most typical first boot ever. You know, the older woman that tends to be the way they usually go as the first boot. She, I think, is the oldest person in the game. So I think that was a traditional first boot. She is an Olympic athlete. She's an Olympic swimmer. There's a lot going on with her. I don't think she had a chance to kind of prove herself physically, obviously. But she's a very traditional first boot. But I will say this. I am surprised. I mean, I thought that the Hustlers were going to get decimated. When I looked at these three tribes, my first thought was, oh, we're going to see the Hustlers at Tribal Council every week until they decide to reshuffle and make it into two tribes. So I'm glad that at least that didn't happen, that the Heroes went into Tribal Council and not the Hustlers. So I'm happy for that because I didn't have much faith in the Hustlers. I didn't have much faith in them. So I'm glad that they at least stayed out of the first one. And that, I guess, you know, most likely next week we'll see a different tribe, most likely them, going into tribal. So at least we're not getting the first few weeks of the same tribe going to tribal getting decimated, because that's what we worry about when we have three tribes. That's what we're, you know, Priscilla, that's why we don't like three tribes. You know, we like a two-tribe team that gives people more opportunity to kind of play and be strategic. If the Heroes go to Tribal Council next week, they're down to five people. I mean, a three-person alliance is all you need to knock somebody out. And there's just less of a chance for strategy in those situations. So we're not huge fans of the three tribe system. We're not huge fans of it.
For good reason.
Yeah. I know that Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers is just this like very vague way to put people into tribes, and it really doesn't mean anything. But I have to say, I think they stretched so hard to fit the criteria for this season. It's like so sad. It's like I understand that they need to find a way to like put people in tribes and have it make sense. And, you know, having just random, you know, here are just random tribes, it's not as exciting. But yeah, they've really stretched. When Jeff was talking to them on the boat, I was like, ooh, that's a stretch. That's a stretch to call him a hero. That's a stretch to call him a hustler. That's a stretch. So I'm glad that, you know, that is not really going to mean anything in the grand scheme of the game. So, because, yeah. But I've listened to some interviews that they've done. I've read some of their bios, and I got to say that these are some very interesting people. There's some competitive people. There's some people that I think can go far in the game, and I'm looking forward to this season. I think it's a pretty decent cast. Even though it was a very predictable first boot, I think that the game is going to be interesting. So I'm looking forward to checking it out. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes of this season. Because, you know, I loved Millennials versus Gen X. And Game Changers was a little sad because all the big personalities went out. And then I had only Ceri left, and Ceri went out tragically. And it's like the craziest thing we've ever seen. I'm looking forward to a good season. So, with that, our time is up. We got to go. Thank you, everybody, listening live. Thank you, everybody, for listening in the archives. And next week, we will talk more about all of these shows. Have a good night, everybody.
Night, everyone.
Bye.